RTE Radio 1.
The Business on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Electric Ireland. Our business is understanding yours.
Good morning. Coming up, the clash for cash between East and West, the financial chaos when love breaks down, and the survival of the humble business card. You can contact us by text to 51551, by phone to 18571 5150, email to thebusiness@rte.ie, or tweet to @thebusinessRTE. But first, this morning we're joined by the president of Diageo for Western Europe, John Kennedy. He heads up a team of over 2,000 people, is responsible for Irish exports worth in the region of 1 billion euro, and is the man credited with the concept of Guinness Extra Cold. He is also president of the employer's body IBEC since last September. John, you're from the Bronx in New York.
I am. I've got Irish roots. The parents are originally from Ireland, but we're all born and bred in New York. And that's home for me. But I've worked with Diageo for a number of years. I've lived in Ireland twice, probably for almost 10 years now. So feel like it's a second home.
Now, you said all of us. How many in the family?
There's four of us in the Kennedys, and the rest of them are still dotted around the States. And my folks are still in New York. My dad's still running the same gas station that we all worked in when we grew up in the East Bronx. And my mother's a social worker there. And we get back to see them two or three times a year.
And where in Ireland did your parents come from?
My dad's from quite near the brewery. Grew up in Stony Batter.
In Dublin.
So in the shadow of Guinness. My mother's from Mayo. We've still got a family farm near Charlestown in County Mayo that my aunt and uncle run.
And were you one of these Irish-Americans who used to come over to Ireland for your holidays in the summer, or was that a rare thing for you growing up?
Yeah, no, we did come over. I felt like I did my bit for the Irish food and drink industry when I was a kid, because we'd come over in the summer and help with milking the cows and stay on the farm for a couple of weeks and really just have a blast with our cousins. So we got over here a few times when we were kids.
Now, you said your father ran a gas station and still does. So business was in your background.
Yeah, we always had small businesses in our family, so we were all involved in running them and making sure they were turning a profit. And my dad still says it's there for me to take over whenever I want to leave the beer industry and come back home.
Well, it's very handy to have something to fall back on. I'm sure Diageo will be delighted to know that. But you studied economics then?
In university, I did. Yeah. And I always wanted to go into business and always wanted to be involved in international businesses. So worked for a few of them, but then had a great opportunity with what was Guinness then, but Diageo now, and have been able to work for them in a number of countries around the world, Australia, US, Canada, England and Ireland, and had a fantastic experience.
Well, your role now in IBEC, president of IBEC at the moment, what does that mean for you?
Well, I mean, IBEC's an important organization. It represents employers who employ over 1 million people on the island of Ireland. So my role in it, and the reason I was keen to take on the president's role, which I'll do this year, was to make sure that IBEC's influential voice was used in as strong a way as possible to try to advocate the policies that could make the biggest difference to how quickly the economy in this country recovers. And if you look at where we are today, there's no doubt there's an economic recovery underway. There's real job growth and high-value jobs dotted around the country. There's a drop in unemployment, still too high, but a significant drop. There's an increase in investment. And our key trading partners like the UK and the US are performing as well. So a lot of things are starting to happen. And one of the things that's particularly on my mind right now is the biggest variable, the biggest thing that can be done to get a further acceleration is to support the Irish consumer. I mean, the domestic economy is still over 70% of our total economy, even though exports are critical. And the consumer is the backbone of that economy. And if you look at retail spending, consumer spending, that is still flat, dramatically down on 5 years ago, and has not recovered. And if you look at what's driving that, we think the biggest thing that's getting in the way is stimulating consumer spending by starting to alleviate some of the tax burden that's accumulated over the last 5 or 6 years through the recession.
Now, we had Jack O'Connor actually on the programme about 2 weeks ago, and he was making a similar point insofar as part of what you said. And he said the key is pay increases. You're not saying that. You're saying, yes, we agree, we've got to get the consumer back spending, but not through pay increases.
Yeah, I disagree with that strongly. And if you actually look at wages on their own for a second, I'll come back to taxes. We've done well in the last few years in becoming more competitive, and yet we still are 25% above the EU average on wages in Ireland and above key competitive economies like the UK. So we'd be very nervous about significant wage inflation that erodes the competitiveness of our economy. That would be going backwards from IBEX's point of view. And that's why the tax piece comes into it, because we do want to stimulate consumers spending more money, but we think we can do it by looking at the total tax take. And right now in Ireland, you take a couple of taxes, income taxes, a rate of 52% on income tax kicks in at 32,000 euros. It's a very high marginal rate, and it kicks in at a very low level of income. The comparable levels for Germany, UK, the US would be 200,000 to 300,000 euros before you'd be taxed at that level. And then you've got the indirect taxes coming in, like VAT, which is at, third or fourth highest in the EU now, and particularly we feel it in our own industry, excise taxes, where, you know, we're in Europe where we collect, where we sell probably 25% of the global market for alcohol, yet we collect 50% of the taxes. And Ireland is at the very top of all the countries in tax take. If you buy a bottle of Irish whiskey on the way home tonight and spend 20 euros on it, you'll spend 17 of that on tax. All of that, plus the water charges, the property charges, makes consumers uncertain, wary of getting out and spending any money. And therefore, we think clear signals on stopping that creep and reversing it would make a huge difference to stimulating the whole economy by getting the consumer back into the game.
But one wonders, and I'm sure, I've no doubt, John, many will see some merit in what you're saying, and others will see something else. They say, but there is no money for tax cuts.
Yeah.
The government can't afford it. So are you saying they should cut back various programs to generate the room for the tax cuts that you're speaking about?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's all about growth. If you can stimulate growth, you can generate more tax, more actual revenues. So Ireland, and you know, the forecasts have been going up. Right now, we're forecast to grow at close to 3% in 2014, highest in Europe. With that level of growth, you can generate revenues that can still pay down our deficit and not give up on those targets, but actually get lower marginal income tax rates for consumers.
Well, now Diageo in Ireland has had a fairly difficult couple of years as well. You've had significant job losses.
Yeah, if you just to talk about Diageo overall for a minute, I run the Western Europe business, which is a an important business for us, and I'm part of our global executive. And it's it's a big thriving company globally. What we're seeing is we continue to grow even with an emerging market slowdown that's come in the last kind of 6 to 12 months. It's a company with great prospects for the long term, because if you look at the demographics globally, there's a huge number of people that are getting into the income bracket where they actually start to buy what we would call our luxury goods. And then there's another 1 billion people who are going to come into the income bracket where they would buy our mainstream brand. So we see great opportunities for Diageo globally and the Irish brands within that portfolio, Baileys, Bushmills, Guinness, where we export a huge percentage of production to have great prospects. In Ireland, we've been as much a part of this recession as anybody, and particularly the on-trade sector has been very hard hit.
That's pubs.
Yeah, the pubs have been hard hit, a lot of closures. And, we've set it as a goal for ourselves that we're going to continue to invest in our brands, continue particularly to invest in the on-trade to make sure the pub is at the center of our business. And if you look at our sales declined 5 or 6% last year, so we're still seeing a decline
in Ireland,
in the island of Ireland.
Okay.
And with that, we're still investing 150 million euros in the new brewery that we're building on Victoria Quay right now, fourth one in 250 years. We put £10 million more into the Guinness storehouse this year to refurbish it, and that's now the biggest tourist attraction in Ireland. We're building a visitor center in Kilkenny. And if you look at the kind of economic footprint of the company, we're still a massive purchaser of agricultural products. You know, we take about 15% of the barley in Ireland, about 10% of the cream production for Bailey's Irish Cream. We employ about 1,500 people, but if you looked at it indirectly, we drive employment for up to 20,000 people in the country.
Well, go back then just to your own situation, Diageo, in Ireland, the job losses. How many job losses have there been since this downturn?
Yeah, I actually don't have the exact number, but if you looked at all the changes we've gone through over the last few years, it is significant, particularly as you look at the world of brewing. I mean, brewing now is best done by a world-class scale facility, whereas a generation ago, we would have had breweries dotted all over the island. So you're seeing consolidation on the manufacturing footprint. That does mean that there's significant cutbacks. There have been other areas that have grown, though, like the storehouse, where there's a significant number of people that have come in as employees in that facility. So for the growth parts of the business, we're willing to bring people in, but there are areas where, you know, we've suffered like everybody else.
Is there any prospect of, now that I suppose we're out or coming out of this downturn and we're looking to recovery and looking to expansion, is there any prospect that maybe Diageo could reverse some of the job losses in Ireland?
I think what you see, and, you know, I'm particularly thinking of Europe, where this recession has hit all parts of Europe, and the business I'm responsible for, we're actually doing a lot in building up our sales force. So there's significant work being done in making sure that we cover the pubs and hotels, restaurants, and grocery stores around Europe. And actually, what's happened is a number of countries have changed their labor laws, where it's much more flexible now to bring somebody on for a temporary period of time. You're not signed up for years. You don't have to pay massive severance costs. So having some labor market flexibility, which is important for Ireland as well, is actually making it easier to look at Europe as a place to invest and grow. So there is that possibility. I mean, I would say in Ireland, just in the last 6 months, we've still got decline. Until that turns around, we're not likely to have a significant increase there.
We've had a lot of controversy about this issue of NEC nominations for people, young people or whatever, on the web, daring each other to take great risks with drink. And we've had two significant and high-profile deaths very recently of young men in relation to that. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I suppose like any individual that heard the coverage of that, it just feels like a massive tragedy for the families involved. And, you know, my thoughts would go out to them. And it seemed that, you know, my own daughters, I asked them, did you get those nominations on Facebook? And they said, yeah, they were going around, and they're teenagers. So it's, a tragic outcome and something that it does feel like in a very short period of time, if there's anything positive that could come out of it, is some reappraisal of the peer pressure involved in doing things that are dangerous. And, you know, how much are you going to take on yourself as an individual? Are you going to be part of advocating that by nominating other friends to be involved? And I'm hoping that, you know, that's a small upside that can come out of a very difficult situation.
I'm sure you've noticed with the controversies about Arthur's Day recently and so on, that people get a little bit suspicious when they hear the drinks industry talk about issues like this. They think, well, they're smoothing it over and they're saying that the drinks industry isn't responsible. A lot of people don't take that point of view at all. They think that the drinks industry is responsible.
Look, I mean, you know, you just mentioned a situation where people, many of them underage, are doing something quite reckless and dangerous. To think that, or to actually believe that people in industry would advocate that or try to encourage in that some way is just wildly inaccurate. And, you know, as part of the industry, and I feel this way, and I know my colleagues in other companies would, we feel like we have to be part of promoting a culture of responsible drinking. And would feel that through the work that's been done at an industry level through MASS, where tens of millions of euros have been committed over the last number of years through drinkaware.ie to responsible consumption messages, we can actually promote an environment where drinking alcohol is a positive thing on the right occasion, and the irresponsible behaviors that can go with our products are minimized. And that's a stated goal of Diageo, and I know of other players in the industry?
Well, obviously, government is looking at it very closely. The issue of minimum pricing for alcohol is very much on the agenda. I think there have been signals that perhaps it could come in maybe later this year, maybe early next year, because people can buy alcohol at very, very cheap prices, cheaper than a bottle of water in many cases. What is your view in relation to the government imposing a minimum price on alcohol in off sales in particular?
I mean, Diageo has been clear in Ireland and abroad and other countries where it's come up that we don't think minimum pricing is going to change attitudes and behavior. People want to consume alcohol irresponsibly, they'll figure out a way to do it. So continuing to try to drive that behavior through a change in the price of alcohol, we don't think it's going to do the job. So, you know, the measures that we're looking at...
The drink aware isn't doing the job either.
Well, actually, if you look at, you know, I see what Diageo does worldwide, and we'd actually be involved in over 300 responsible drinking initiatives across all the countries we operate in. And we do see when you do get serious about education and changing attitudes and behavior, that has the biggest impact on the outcome. You know, and we've been doing a lot of work in England in the last couple of years in terms of taking a program called Smashed into schools. We work with the Midwives Association in England and fund the training of over 10,000 midwives on how to pass information on fetal alcohol syndrome, which they're very positive about.
But how long before we see them in Ireland as opposed to in England?
Well, the you mentioned that DrinkAware isn't having an impact. DrinkAware en masse has been in existence for a number of years. And again, there's about 25 to 30 million euros of investment that's actually gone into responsible drinking programs. The ones I mentioned were things that Diageo has been directly involved in. We took an industry approach here, and I think that was the right decision a number of years ago. And therefore, that's why we use that body to drive those programs. But we have seen actually a lot of research in terms of the impact online and the feedback we get from consumers that DrinkAware has had a significant presence and visibility, particularly with a younger audience, in getting responsible consumption messages out around a very wide range, particularly of occasions, whether it's Freshers Week at school or whether it's the festivals during the summer. So we actually think we're making progress.
But people might say to you as well, John, 1 in 3 pints of beer sold in Ireland is Guinness, actually, never mind a Diageo product. You've had huge controversy in around the Arthur's Day promotion, which is specifically a Diageo promotion, that deciding that you're going to take an industry approach to this improved education and awareness and so on, it's kind of hiding behind the big skirts of other companies. Diageo themselves have a huge responsibility, given that people will say you're milking the PR dry in relation to Arthur's Day. Diageo themselves, surely people will say to you, should be doing something that isn't industry driven, but is Diageo driven. You're getting so much in terms of what you're taking out of the market, your influence in the pub business in Ireland, that Diageo has the responsibility as well as the industry, and they don't see Diageo bringing in the likes of your Smashed promotion into British schools. Why aren't you doing it here?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, we're the biggest skirt, and we can't hide behind anyone because we're so big, and we're the biggest funder of organizations like MASS. But look, George, I think it's a good point. It's something I've talked to the people in the company about, saying, you know, we are big here at Diageo and the Guinness brand in particular. So maybe we need to lead with things that have our name more directly attached to them. And again, there's no rule or policy around that in Diageo. When I was working in our U.S. business, one of the things we did is we actually took the brands, and every fifth TV ad we made into a responsible consumption ad from the brand directly, so that, you know, you actually use the power of the brand which has a lot of access to consumers, to land the messages more clearly. So, I mean, we're doing 300 programs now. I reckon in the next 5 years, we'll do another 300, and you'll see every shape and form of activity to promote responsible consumption. And if that makes a bigger difference in Ireland, you can count on Diageo being in there.
Diageo, obviously, its involvement in Ireland is terribly important in terms of the income it can bring in, the jobs, the innovation, the investment and so on. Is the company committed to Ireland?
I can't imagine how it couldn't be. I mean, we seem completely...
Because it did look on one occasion as if you would be moving out of St. James's Gate.
Yeah, I I think I can safely say that there is no future where Ireland and Diageo and Guinness are not completely entwined. And, you know, the numbers I was telling you before about the investment that we continue to make in the country should attest to that.
John Kennedy, thank you very much.
Thank you, George.